The title of our message today is Always Give Thanks to God. You know, sometimes that's kind of hard. We forget what God has done for us. So this morning, we're going to take a look at how our country was founded and the goodness of God that has been over this land. So the Thanksgiving season is a very special time of giving thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Why do we celebrate? What was the call of the children of God in coming to America? Do we know and understand that we were founded to be a light to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you know that we have a covenant with the Almighty God? Did you know that our laws and constitution were written with the word of God in mind and heart? Let's take a moment to thank God for his faithfulness. Father, we lift up our hearts to you. You satisfy us with many good things. Great is your faithfulness. Open our eyes to see what your plan is for this great land. Giving thanks always for all things unto God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Persecution was all around the Christians. Millions were dying because of their faith. The Church of England was a state-sponsored religion where the faith of many had grown cold. So in September of 1620, the pilgrims set sail on a small wooden ship called the Mayflower. Pilgrims are people who journey to a destination because of their religious beliefs. God was leading them to establish a land that was going to give the glory to God, to spread the gospel around the world. For 66 storm-tossed days, the pilgrims suffered across a cold, wintry Atlantic Ocean, knowing that God was with them. Think about that. That's over 2 months coming across on cold, stormy days and nights. They had traveled 2,700 miles at approximately 2 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? 2 miles an hour. When land was sighted on November 9th, 1620, William Brewster led them in Psalm 100 as a prayer of thanksgiving. And we're going to read this today because they literally shouted for joy as they fell on their knees to pray and celebrate because they were coming to a new land. Psalm 100 is only 5 verses, but they're powerful. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. They believed that the government of Christ begins in the heart of the individual. It cannot be forced, but it can be molded and taught. True religious liberty could only be built upon the genuine practices of self-government. The pilgrims increasingly recognized that true religious liberty must be something that's extended to others. What they would write down had to work for everyone, for saint as well as stranger. So they put together the Mayflower Compact with the principles of a covenant. They knew that there was only one foundation upon which a man can build. So they sought to build their house upon the rock of Jesus Christ. So everything they did started with God. The Mayflower Compact opened with, and I quote, "In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten," end quote. This charter came from their own hearts, to which they voluntarily agreed. Civil government operates like a covenant. Because this charter defined their rights as a Christian colony, the basis of the law in their civil society would be Christianity, as revealed in the Word of God. And they believed the Word of God literally with all of their heart. This did not mean that you had to accept Christianity yourself, but you had to agree that Christianity is the root of the law. So they founded a government on a covenant and planted the seeds of faith. What they understood was that throughout history, God has always used a small group of people who were totally committed and all in. They knew that if they kept their covenant with God and with one another, that God would be faithful. At winter's end, in just 3 months, 47 of the 102 of the colonists and half of the ship's crew had died. Even though the captain of the ship asked them to return with him to England, they all stayed. Such is the strength of those who have gone on before us. They passionately followed Jesus Christ. They were never taught to stop, and they were never going to quit. They are the ones who brought forth the torch of liberty in spite of the fact that they had faced death, imprisonment, storms, shipwreck, calamity, and suffering of all kinds. They were willing to sacrifice everything, even if it meant dying in the wilderness. They knew that God had called them to establish a new land. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. This reminds us our country was founded by people of faith who were committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. And as we go through this scripture, I want you to remember how we were founded and the prices the people were willing to pay to come and settle in the land of the free. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had promised. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country that is not their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Our forefathers were people of faith, and they were called pilgrims. America's founding fathers were concerned not just with their own generation, but also with the generations to come. When they wrote the Constitution, they had done so in order to, and I quote, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, end quote. Whether or not America will prosper into the future depends on its righteousness today. So how is righteousness measured? The Holy Bible affirms that the righteousness of any nation is defined by the public policies and how well they conform to God's standard. In other words, only God-honoring policies can exalt a nation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This gives us a guide to every political concern and issues concerning our economy. When Jesus' disciples focused on their food, clothing, income, lands, and homes, he reminded them that if they would, and in verse 33 said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The endeavor of the forefathers was for the express purpose of propagating the Christian religion. When the first colonists landed in Virginia Beach, they planted a wooden cross in the sand, thus establishing a covenant with God. Pastor Robert Hunt, the chaplain of Jamestown, knelt by that cross and offered a prayer of dedication. And I quote, we do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. And may this land, along with England, be evangelists in the world. End quote. His prayer for us as a nation was to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is our mandate. That is what our mission has been from the very beginning. Though many have not lived up to this kingdom standard, our nation was established in the shadow of the cross of Christ's kingdom. And to become the most evangelistic nation in the world, this is our birthright. Do not let anyone tell you any different. On July 4th, 1776, the final wording of the Declaration of Independence was approved and sent to be printed. It was celebrated with shouts and processions, with the firing of arms and the ringing of bells. The people understood the enormous cost of the step that they were taking. John Adams, in a letter that he wrote to his wife regarding the meaning of his own signature on this document of freedom, wrote, and I quote, I am well aware of the toil and the blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration. I can see that the end is more worth all the means and that posterity will triumph in that day's transaction. End quote. He and his fellow signers of the Declaration were certain that they would bring untold suffering and sacrifice at every level, leaving empty chairs at family tables, widows, fatherless children, grieving mothers and fathers. But now there was, as Adams notes, a price worthy of giving that all, their all, to liberty. And there would be no king to stand in the way of it. So we have a great history. We have failed, and we have not always chosen what is good. Yet despite our shortcomings, we can learn from our mistakes and turn back to God, who has blessed us. When we get down on our knees, seeking God's blessing and wisdom to do what is right, we achieve a higher standard. The truest source of America's greatness is that she belongs to God. Hallelujah. At her founding, she dedicated herself to his purpose and has recognized the creator of the universe is the true source of her many blessings. May God bless America. Let us remember that the original covenant was established on the shores of Virginia in 1607, that this land was dedicated to God for the purpose of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. And this covenant remains. This is one nation under God, indivisible, whose motto is, "In God we trust." Micah 6:8 gives us instruction in righteousness and what God expects from us. Micah 6:8 says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God." We as a nation have fallen into pride and arrogance and have forgotten God. But you know what? There's good news, and it is that the dreams and hopes of our nation was built on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ, and it's still in reach. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us what we must do. And I know that there have been many who have been standing and praying, fasting and getting on their knees, if they have used this promise from the Lord. And it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." We are standing in the doorway of an unfinished destiny. May we be a generation who takes up the torch of liberty and to stand for truth, to be a covenant people, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before our God. This is the key to return us to the mandate of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Let us go back to Psalm 100, verse 4, and consider these words. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As we gather together with family and friends this Thanksgiving, let us celebrate the many wonderful things that God has done. He sent us, his one and only Son, to show us his great love for us. The basis of our thanksgiving is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We enter his presence with thanksgiving. A thankful heart is not dependent on the things of this world, but on the blessings that come from God. We can thank him for lessons learned, that he is there in our difficult times, as well as our daily blessings that have come our way. Thanksgiving is to be continual, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but each day through the year. Thanksgiving expresses gratitude for what God has done for us. Praise is our attitude towards God because of who and what he is. Praise comes from a heart satisfied with the Lord. Scripture tells us that he satisfies the longing soul. As we praise and thank him at all times and in everything, our troubles will turn into triumph. May our lives be such a living letter to him that others will see and want that joy that comes from a life well lived. As we remember the price that was paid by those who came before us, let's thank God that we're a part of his story. Jeremiah 29:11, which happens to be one of my most favorite verses, but it tells us that he has always been in control of our destiny as a nation, as well as for each one of us personally. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. His eternal plan will be accomplished." We must believe in what happened from the cross to the throne. We must live the resurrection life that Jesus took our sin. It is amazing that he did that for you and he did that for me. It is by his strength and our obedience. Enter his gate with thanksgiving. Praise means the door, and it connects you with the glory of God. There is something that happens in praise. There is no room for anything that is not God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for not following you completely, for letting our way move above yours. Forgive us. We know that we can't do that. Father, we want your love, your blessing, your peace. We want all of you, Lord, and none of us. Let us remember to give you the thanks and praise, Lord, as we celebrate Thanksgiving Day and every day as we participate with family and friends. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.